You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 101. And whereas episode 100 was very long, we're going to make this one quite short and snappy. We have Viv today as a guest on the show, and Viv has a short but quite harrowing, emotionally disturbing dream. But you wouldn't think so, as we discuss it with much jollity and laughter. And of course, it has a happy ending because we work out what it means and we work out some alchemy. So if you've ever been in the position of having a dream or knowing someone that's been really very, very upset by a dream, this is probably a good one to listen to and a good one to share with other people. Before we go to talk to Viv, just do the usual. Here are my website addresses, www.dream.net.au. If you'd like to look at all the free stuff on my site, or if you'd like to know how to make a booking with me to discuss your dream by Skype or by phone or all sorts of other things, my blog address is www.janetheresa.com without an H. And of course, there's our dream community over on Facebook where you can very easily find us. So without further ado, here's Viv and her dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Viv. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks, Jane. How are you?
I'm really well, actually. I just realised it's not the morning. It's now officially the afternoon. So I just hope that my brain is in the right place, but I'm sure it is. It usually is. And what have you got for me today, Viv?
Well, I just got a very short dream. It was quite a harrowing dream at the time. I had it a few weeks ago when I was in Japan, and goes like this. So in my dream, I, for some strange reason, I needed to have a canteen of cutlery that we, my husband and I, must have had at home or something. And I knew that to get it, rather than he have it, I had to kill him. But I had to kill him by giving him a sharp blow to the back of his head. So I went home and actually was delighted because I found two canteens of cutlery. So then I opened the door of the bedroom and he was lying there asleep on his front. So he was lying on his stomach and I thought, oh, fantastic. This is too easy. So, so I raised the canteen of cutlery. I had one in each hand, you know, the wooden boxes. And I lifted one up to smash it down on the back of his skull. And suddenly, as it was mid-air, I thought, oh, God, this is terrible. I'm going to get blood all over my canteen. And then at the same time, I thought, oh, and I'll never see Pete again. You won't be around anymore. This is terrible. And I was absolutely horrified. And so I just dropped my hand down and decided I wouldn't kill him.
And did the dream end there?
And that was it.
And great apologies for laughing about it, but I could hear you laughing too. And even the most harrowing of dreams while we're in there can be quite comical when we wake up and look at them, can't they?
Of course. It's absolutely absurd. My husband.
And yet while you're in them, it's terrible. And some element of that sort of feeling goes with you for a few days. Did you find that as you went through the next few days, you were still kind of feeling a little bit like, oh, God, where did that come from? Or did you have any kind of residual emotions?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
How did you feel over the next few days when you contemplated the, not the interpretation of the dream, but what kind of emotion residue did it leave in you?
Oh, just a sort of a sick feeling, like, oh, that was so awful. And, I was traveling with a friend at the time, I was skiing with a friend. So, of course, I told her all about it and, the very next day, which sort of dissipates the whole thing.
Yeah.
So by day two, I was pretty much over it, but it's still one of those dreams that stays in your head. It was pretty awful.
Yeah, we'll work it out. And I love the way that you said that because that's actually a key point. If you have a dream that's frightening and you or upsetting in any way, just verbalizing it does actually begin to distance yourself from it. To at some deep level, verbalizing it gets it off your chest a bit and begins to, you know, release any leftover difficult feelings about it. And the reason why that's so important to say is that so many people feel that if they have a really bad dream, particularly one like that, you know, where you're, you know, almost gleefully killing your husband. most people think, oh, if I mention it, it's A, going to betray something about me, you know, some deep desire to kill my husband, which of course it's not, or B, it's putting negative energy out there and I shouldn't be doing this. But, you know, I'm here to say to everyone listening, if you have a dream like this, on the way to getting it interpreted, if it is upsetting and bothering you, share it, talk about it, get it off your chest, particularly with people that understand that just speaking it out there kind of makes you remember that it is a dream and it is something that, you know, you can later, if you keep it to yourself, the power is too intense sometimes. So we have to ask you a few questions first. This dream was a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, as with any dream, it refers to what you were processing from the day or two before. And you were on holiday. Was your husband with you on holiday?
No, he wasn't.
No, okay. So the canteens of cutlery, in your dream, were they any old canteens of cutlery, or what was it, a particular set that you actually have back at home?
We do have a set in a box that we never actually use back at home, but it wasn't that. I think it was silverware, I guess, and it was, I have no idea why I would particularly have a need for this cutlery. If I have the cutlery in my drawer, thank you.
So if you think about that cutlery set in the dream and you have a look at it, what kind of personality did it have? I mean, if you were going to buy that as a present for somebody, that particular canteen, the particular box, what kind of person would you buy it for?
Oh, the one in my dream. Mm.
What kind of person would it suit?
I don't know. Maybe it would suit me. As I said, yeah, just so look, there is a connection, I suppose, in that we do have, as I said, cutlery in a box. It was a wedding present to us. It wasn't actually, it wasn't silver. It was that, you know, this is going way back, and it was quite popular at the time. And I think it's sort of quite ornate, sort of wooden handles, and I think it was brass. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know the style. It's sort of very maybe Indian or Indonesian, that sort of a look, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't, in our very early days, before we had decent cutlery, we used it, you know, if we had people over or a lot to cater for. But otherwise, I don't know. Where is it? I don't know.
So
maybe it's another house somewhere.
So in a sense, you know, we're just trying to establish at the beginning that the symbol of this particular canteen of cutlery in your dream, even though it becomes two. And some of the things that have come up are, A, it's something I never use, or we never use. B, it stretches back to when I got married, which was how many years ago?
Oh, long time. I don't know. I think it's over 30 years ago now.
Over 30 yeah. years ago. So it's also, it may be referencing your dream. It may be referencing where you were at 30 years ago, over 30 years ago when you got married. It may be referencing something, and this is probably what it's going to be, but we'll explore more deeply, something that I never use. We'll come back to that. Yes. And the other, one of the other things is that, as you said, it's not really silverware. It's not something of huge value in itself. At the time, it was something that you used because it was a present, but it was more Indonesian. More a kind of an art of the time rather than anything of any intrinsic value. So those are some of the things that it may represent for you. But at the beginning of the dream, can you just go over the very start of the dream again, Viv?
Well, it was a bit vague, and I'm sure it's one of those little things where you actually can't quite recollect the very beginning of it, but the first, you know, whatever it was, morphed into the situation where I knew that I wanted this canteen of cutlery for myself. Mm-hmm. And to have it, I had to hit Peter over the head with it.
Right, okay. And Peter was asleep at the time when you contemplated doing that. Okay, so, of course, everybody in a dream represents an aspect of yourself. So although Pete looked like Pete, and although that was a harrowing thing when you thought about it in the morning, Pete represents something about you now. One thing Pete may represent is the time that you've been married, because the canteen of cutlery goes back that far in the dream as well. And sometimes our partner, our real life partner in our dream, will sometimes represent our you know, for a woman, your male partner will sometimes represent your yang, you know, your inner male. the way you are in the world. So even putting both of those together, there's something in your dream that you think will be solved by killing off an aspect of yourself as represented by Pete in the dream. Now, it may be killing off how you are in the waking world. It's like, you know, my male partner, my inner male, my yang, how I act in the world. This has got to end. I've got to bash this over the back of the head. Things have got to change. The way I am in the world of work out there has got to change. So that's one thing that we'll look at. And the other thing, and perhaps more likely, is the time that I have been married all this time has, you know, built a certain person or approach to life in me, Viv. And it's time that I bash this over the back of the head, because not because you want to end your marriage or anything along those lines, but just because you want to be different in the world to some extent now. So you see, you've got that double symbol. You've got the canteen of cutlery that goes back to your wedding, and you've got Pete that goes back to your wedding too. And it's like, one of these has got to go. And the fact that the canteen of cutlery is one that you say, oh, look, I never really use it these days. There's a sense there of there's a quality within you that you had when you got married or around those times that you never really use these days. And somehow while you were on holiday in Japan, you got sort of, you became more aware of this and thought, I really want to get back in touch with this thing that I, or this quality that I never really use. And to do that, I've got to kill off how I have been in the world for the last 30 years. It's almost like I've got to start again in a new way. And you're so intent on this in the dream that there's not only one canteen of cutlery, but there's two. This is the instrument by which you will kill off something. So it's like something I never use, the canteen of cutlery, that I really want in my life now. In fact, I want two of them. Thank you very much. And I'm going to use this sense of something that I haven't used before that I want to start using now to kill off the way that I used to be in the world, or to kill off some aspect of myself that's been around for about 30 years so that I can begin things in a new way. Now, Pete in the dream is asleep on the bed. So he's kind of, that represents a part of yourself that's kind of asleep to all of this, a bit unconscious to it. So it's almost like there's a part of yourself maybe that has been asleep that you haven't used, that ties in with the canteen. Something in myself that I haven't really used, that's been asleep for a long time. And instead of waking it up, a good idea, I'm going to bash it over the head and kill it for good. And because at the end of the dream, you suddenly think, what am I doing? And you actually pull back from that. To me, that's a possible question of what am I doing here? Maybe there's a way to go forward, identifying something that I haven't been in touch with, something within myself that has gone to sleep, something within myself that I never use. But instead of dealing with that by kind of ending, putting an end to all of that period and starting brand new, maybe one option is to awaken what has been sleeping and start in a different way. Because your dream kind of offers two possible endings there. And of course, at the end of the day, what the dream does is the dream never tells you what to do. It doesn't say, oh, you should go and do this. The dream shows you where you're at in your mind. So there's a sense that while you're on holiday in Japan, you came to this conclusion of, I was thinking about kind of ending something within myself so that I could get to use these skills or part of myself that I've never used for a long time. But then you also think in the dream, dilemma, maybe that's not the way to go. So can you make some connections with this so far?
I must say, before I went to Japan, I was thinking, what am I doing, right? I'm an artist. My husband jokes about my income, which is fine. But a part of me was thinking, what am I doing this for? You know, maybe I should go and get a real job. And so I was actually almost over it before I went to Japan. And while we were there, a couple of things happened. I've got an exhibition coming up later in the year, and I got some amazing photographs for that to extend my, the current series that I'm working on. And another series that has been sort of sitting around for a while I decide how to resolve it, we just popped in to an art gallery one day, and I got amazing inspiration from it, and suddenly it was revealed to me what I should do. So I was very excited about that as well. So, you know, so that is something that I was just thinking, should I continue? Where's this going? What's the point? I'm over it. And, so that got a very new lease of life while I was in Japan.
So that fits very beautifully. Can you remember whether you had this dream before you walked into that gallery and saw the thing that gave you a new lease of life?
It was after that, yeah.
It was after that. So as in when the dream processes the last 24 to 48 hours of your conscious experience, was it likely that that dream came a couple of days after that gallery insight there?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. It would have been, a few days later, I think. Yeah,
that's really good, because one thing that's just jumping out at me is that there were two canteens, and what you really said there was that I was thinking of giving it all up. And yes. When I got to Japan, I not only got some good photographs for an exhibition which I'm about to put on, but I also went into a gallery and got another idea. So you got two, just as you've got two canteens of cutlery in the dream as well.
Yes.
So it's almost like two. Now, and the other thing I was thinking as you were saying that was, what do we use a canteen of cutlery for? Not a trick question. You answer me.
What we use canteen to eat?
Yeah. Okay. And what's the cliche about bringing money home to do? Can you make any connections here?
Yes. Bringing home bacon.
Bringing home the bacon, putting food on the table. Yeah. So it's kind of like the knives and forks and spoons of the cutlery set. It's like putting on a big feast, and we can all feed, you know, from this. There's a sense there of the tools. I'm choosing the tools which I haven't used for some while that are actually going to, you know, put the food on the table and bring this. And I'm also thinking, I mean, you said artists and you said photographs there. Do you ever do, or have you ever done, painting?
Oh, yes, I used to.
Mm-hmm. When you say I used to, was that as far back as 30 years ago or more recently?
Oh, more recently, yeah.
Because what I'm tuning into is I'm thinking of, like, I've got a picture of the canteens of cutlery in my mind, and I'm thinking how close is a canteen of cutlery to a case of artist's brush and paints? You know, the kind of wooden boxes? Yeah, is there a similarity in the canteen in your dream with an artist's thingy-me-jig?
Well, it's got a similar look, not as heavy, but perhaps.
Because I don't know why I'm also thinking of the red, you know, I can't get the blood on the case, and I'm thinking of paint and painting and... Is there any part of you, that's been thinking about painting again in an art sense?
Yes, this other series of photos that I mentioned have now got a resolution for will involve going back to drawing and painting to make an animation which will go with the series of photographs that I took way back in Canada. And yes, the subject matter is quite monotone, apart from this very large splash of red, which is a red scar. Yeah,
fantastic. So we've made the connection that the two canteen cutleries, there's some part of, you know, this, the dream is always a reflection of where your mind, particularly your unconscious mind, is at. So far in the dream, and we're going to do more, we've got, I was in a place in my life where I was thinking, what's this being an artist all about? You know, although my husband jokes about my income, maybe, you know, maybe there's a part of myself that agrees with him. Where am I going with all of this? And then there's a part of yourself when you went to Japan that suddenly became inspired. Not only did you get some great photos for your exhibition that you're currently planning, but you also got another idea as well. So you got two canteen cutleries. It was like, I've got two sets of tools here that go back to something that I actually haven't used for a long time. So although you are a current artist, an artist with currency, the dream is referencing something I haven't used for a long time, which, apart from the photography with which you are current, seems to suggest the painting and bringing the paints back, which you've described there with bringing in the animation to some extent and the colour. So there's that sense. And there's also the sense in the dream of, I've got to end some way of how I used to be to start again, which you woke up to in the dream. It's like, oh no, actually, this isn't what I want to do. So we've got that covered. You got the new inspiration in Japan. It's not so much that you want to bang yourself on the head for everything you've done in the past and completely start with something new. But what I'm focusing on here is in the dream, it was like, oh, I'm not sure that I want all this blood on the canteen. I'm not sure that I want all this red stuff on the canteen. So you've identified that in your art, the new idea you've got is to use painting or drawing to bring this red color in. And in the dream, you're not so sure about that. So what for you, what would you say is the challenge that you may be facing now of bringing this red or this animation into your work? Is there a part of yourself that thinks, I'm not sure about this? Or how are you feeling about it?
As I said, I was really excited about it because I can visualize it, but I'm working on other things at the moment. So I have, and I'm trying to clear the decks so that I can then focus on that. And there's a little part, you know, it's always in the back of my mind, whirring away, thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? But until I get the physical materials in front of me and then start problem solving, I really don't know, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got an idea, but
Spoken by a true artist, the method. And when you said that, I thought it was interesting. You said, oh, you know, it's something I've got in the back of my mind. And you were going to hit Pete on the back of his head.
That's right.
Which is probably where you keep the back of your mind. I've never actually thought where you keep the back of your mind before, but it's probably back there somewhere. So there was also the sense in the dream that you were going to kill off the back of your mind. And then you thought twice about it. And you had the red connection with that. So it's almost like there's that turning point in the dream is perhaps it's okay to have something on the back of your mind rather than to think, I've got to be logical about this. I can't have blood on my hands. I can't have something on the back of my mind. I can't have animation on the back of my mind. It's got to be a clean cut. I've got to end this, got to start this, got to do this, got to have maybe the surgical instruments like the cutlery in the canteen, got to do it this way. But there's a sense in the dream where you pull back. Instead of destroying the back of the mind of your male side, how you are in the world, it's like somehow this is okay to have something on the back of the mind.
Mm.
When with Pete, when you say he makes jokes about your income as an artist, how does he feel about the artistic process? You know, carrying things on the back of the mind.
He's an engineer, so. It's not something that he understands, but he has no problems with, you know, really, with what I do. He's fine. It's just his sense of humour, I think.
and bringing it back to you, because everyone in a dream is an aspect of yourself, do you feel that there may be a part of yourself that feels uncomfortable about just having something on your back of your mind? Do you feel that, oh, I should be kind of out there and saying, oh, this is my first goal and I'm going to take this step and I'm going to take this step?
In a way, I do have a feeling that maybe I could or should be more productive. Maybe I should be out there earning a sensible income. Maybe I should be, who knows, doing something else, basically.
Whereas in fact with art, there's a sense of you have the idea, you have the inspiration, which is fantastic. You have the commitment, you know, of putting on a show or setting yourself a deadline or whatever it is. And then the rest happens by magic if you just allow the back of your mind to do the cooking with which you then eat the finished food with your knives and forks and spoons from your cutlery canteen. So just at this point, you know, we've sort of walked around a dream and played inside it. Is anything coming to mind? Has anything shifted or changed as we've talked about your dream?
I think I'd already made the change not as a result of the dream. I think, let me see what comes first, the chicken or the egg. The dream or the action. As a result of that Japanese trip, my whole attitude it all disappeared, my uncertainty and my questioning of what I was doing and where I was going. So the dream, did that Ultra-beautiful set on some level. I don't know. Sorry, what was your question again, Jane?
No, I've forgotten. I slipped into the back of my mind somewhere there. No, what I actually said was, as we were talking about the dream and we were walking around the dream in the last, 20 minutes or so, do you feel that anything has shifted within you, or do you feel that this has just consolidated those feelings that you came back from Japan? Are you viewing life any differently at the moment, or are you thinking, yeah, actually this all adds up to where I'm at?
Yes, absolutely. I think it is that consolidation process. It's just verifying, really, what's already taken place on something. It's good.
And so if you think back to that canteen of cutlery being something that you really never use and
something that I never really valued, just like, well, it's not real silver. Attitude,
So would you... Go on.
No. Yeah, I'm just trying to think about the sequence of the canteen of cutlery that we were given was not something that I held placed great value on, but in the dream it was something that I felt I just had to have at the expense of killing my husband. So obviously I shifted my feelings towards the canteen of cutlery.
That's right.
Sorry.
So symbolically, moving that into, a different language, during the dream or during the 2 days preceding the dream, you shifted your values of what was valuable and what wasn't.
Yes, exactly.
And because everything in the dream is an aspect of yourself, something that you used to regard as, oh, I never really use that because it's not really valuable within yourself, in the 2 days leading up to the dream, you shifted and it said, yes, I not only want to use that again, but that is actually now incredibly valuable to me, so valuable that I am willing to, kill off every way that I have been in the past and do something in a new way. So as with all dreams, the interpretations can become confusing because on the one hand, as you say, you were thinking when you went to Japan, oh, look, maybe that's all over. Maybe I should end all that and get a real job. And you could say, oh, well, that's the death of the husband. Like, end all that, something new. And yet, by the same token, you can say that, you almost, you this new evaluation of your own skills or something within you, a new sense of self-value, something that you had discounted within myself, these particular skills are not worthy, this is not useful, these cutlery tools are not useful, they don't put food on the table, whatever it is, you suddenly valued in a whole new way. And that sense of value, that self-worth in the dream rose above everything else. But at the end of the dream, you didn't kill the husband. So it was like you realized, actually, ooh, maybe you can have it all. So you have beautifully already affirmed that. You said once you came back from Japan, your uncertainty had disappeared and your questioning had disappeared, and you absolutely know, not only know what you're doing and where you're going now, but you have the confidence to back burner some of that on the back of your mind. And you also have come up with an entirely new inspiration, so that you're not only finishing the exhibition, the photographic exhibition that you already had on your plate to attack with your cutlery, but you also came up with a brand new idea as well, which I love. So, I'm thinking at the end of the dream, there's a sense of if we could awaken Pete, because you decide at the end of the dream, you don't have to totally end something in order to move forward with a sense of self-worth and to be able to use something that you haven't previously valued deeply, and use this thing, this cutlery, in a way that may be to put food on the table and enjoy it. You can do this while also still maintaining a lot of the stuff that has been a part of you and your growth over the 30 years since you've been married. So by keeping Pete alive, it's like saying, yes, that's been my evolution for 30 years. So rather than end that and go another job or whatever, I can actually still, like in the beginning, it's the quandary. In order to have the cutlery, in order to feel an increased amount of self-worth, I've got to get rid of the humorous critic who says, oh, an artist, what kind of income is that? Right. But at the end of the dream, you realize I don't have to do that. I can actually have 2 sets of cutlery and a husband as well. So in other words, everything that all the paths and experiences and things that you've been through over the last 30 years have all added value to who you are that you can now bring out and really take the opportunity to deeply value in the same way that you have said a few minutes ago that your husband does actually support you in the work that you do. It's just his sense of humor that you can by the same token take a whole 30 years where you have doubted yourself from time to time and support yourself and move forward. You know, moving forward with this new sense of self-worth does not mean negating the last 30 years. It actually means drawing on that for increased inspiration and taking it all forward with you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all wonderful stuff.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just thinking.
That's good. You're out calling Viv on the back burner of her mind.
Oh, 30 years as a struggling artist. I haven't actually. I've done a lot of other things as well. So I'd say it's more like, yeah.
Not so much as a struggling artist. I really didn't mean that, but I meant that what you suggested to us was that you haven't really totally valued yourself as an artist. Now, over that 30 years, I would imagine that plenty of other people have said, have you seen what Viv's done? That's fantastic. And you would have gone, oh, no, that's as most artists, anybody could do that. That's, you know, oh, it's nothing. So we're not talking about how you have actually been as an artist. We're talking about your valuing of yourself as an artist.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. So at this point, I mean, it sounds like everything's rosy in a kind of blood red kind of way in terms of your vision of the future and where you're going and your comfort with back burnering some aspects. So I'm wondering, you know, what we can do for Dream Alchemy. What is there something that you'd like to, around the subject, change or fine-tune or empower?
In terms of my work?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'm on a roll right now. I don't know. I just, nothing jumps to mind.
I think one thing that jumps to my mind, since all your people are jumping about in the back burner at the moment and not coming forward, which is fine. No, they're allowed to be there. We've just allowed that. That's absolutely fine. But what I'm thinking in pure dream symbolism terms is because the canteen of cutlery has come out to represent something that you haven't valued but that you now value very strongly and want to take forward with you. I'm thinking that we can really amp that up. And maybe, why not turn it into a canteen of silver? Mm-hmm. Why not turn it into a canteen of gold?
Mm-hmm.
Since we're doing alchemy.
Oh, why not? Good idea.
Mm. And if you could imagine opening that canteen of cutlery and looking at inside at this beautiful range of absolutely solid, you know, 22 carats, gold, 22, that is right, isn't it? 24 carat gold. And you added your artist's eye. What kind of design do you think we could put on the handles of this cutlery?
Oh, I prefer silver, Jane.
Okay, we'll go with silver.
Silver, and it would be something very simple and plain.
Mm. Right, so have you got a kind of a symbol or an era or a kind of feeling that you might put into the design of those plain handles?
Ooh,
like plain, classic, plain, ancient, plain, basic.
Plain classic sounds good.
Plain classic, okay. So, wow, I'm thinking here. You're an artist. How are you with pencils and crayons?
Oh, yeah, fine.
You're okay with pencils and crayons? And what I'm going to suggest is a miniature alchemy art, because a big alchemy art is going to take a lot of work. So I'm going to suggest for this alchemy, instead of a visualization, you do a miniature, either pencil or crayon, whichever turns you on, with quite a bit of red in it. And absolutely nothing to do with the two exhibitions that you have in mind. This is a pure alchemy thing. And the subject of your miniature is whatever you are inspired to draw from the feeling of an exquisitely classic silver handled cutlery set.
Okay.
Right, so let the back of your mind work on it, but I'm only going to give the back of your mind 24 hours. 24 okay. hours, and then tomorrow you get up and a miniature, it can be very quick, it can be totally abstract. Just spend, you know, no more than an hour. Mm-hmm. Almost a rough rather than a finished piece. Mm-hmm. And it's just okay. to see what comes out. The back of your mind is going to play with this subject, because this subject represents self-value, particularly of your art. And it has this other connotation of the tools of the trade, putting food on the table, which you can then nourish yourself with. Mm-hmm. And just do the little miniature with no thinking, no planning, and just see what comes up, see what your unconscious presents. And in the doing of that, you are, in a sense, helping your unconscious mind to transform from Indonesian sort of, yeah, it's not really what I would have chosen, but it'll do, kind of self-value, to this is really me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Are you happy to do that?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. Yeah. That's fantastic. Thank you.
Did you have any other questions around the dream or the alchemy?
No, I think that's all straightforward and wonderful.
And do you feel better about the dream now?
Oh, yes. Yes, it just feels crystal clear. And, that was wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing your dream, because, as always, everybody that comes on the show is inspiring other people, not only with so that they get hints and tips on how to interpret their dreams, but we always get inspired by what's happening in other people's lives, that, you know, little bits that we can use in our own. And I think particularly, Viv, amongst the many classic silver gems in your dream is also the idea that when a dream is horrifying, to share it with a friend, talk about it, get it out in the open, knowing that talking about it is actually on the road to understanding the dream and actually transforming it rather than holding it inside. When you hold a harrowing, as you described this as harrowing, a harrowing or frightening, particularly emotionally vivid dream inside and don't want to share it with other people, it actually sort of gains power. You know, it eats away at you. It becomes worrisome. It grows. And that is not a good thing. So it's really, really good to not only share, you know, and talk out a dream, but also to get it interpreted. So thanks for sharing your dream. And I wish you a fantastic exhibition. And when either of your exhibitions come up, please get in contact with me and let me know how they went. And if there's anything you'd like me to share with our listeners about all of that and your art and where this alchemy leads you, that would be fantastic too. And if you feel really open and wonderful about it, when your exhibition comes up, I can even tell people what your exhibition is and where it is, and they can all come and see it.
Okay. Jane, thank you very much.
A pleasure, Viv. You know, I'm still thinking we have so many artists, fine artists that turn up as guests on the podcast show, that I'm still thinking, you know, a few years down the track or however long it takes, I think we need to have an international exhibition of some of the Dream Alchemy artwork that I ask people to do. Maybe online, or maybe a traveling exhibition, or maybe a book with lovely color plates. Let's just put it out there. I love it anyway. And you know, one thing that I really loved about Viv's dream there that we perhaps didn't really bring to the fore, but when you really look at it, she had that sense of, she went to Japan thinking, oh, look, you know, as she put it in her words, maybe I'm over it. Maybe all this work, maybe I've just had enough. And, you know, perhaps really feeling quite down that she'd put in all this effort. Was it all really worthwhile? And yet, you know, within about a week of being in Japan, suddenly she not only got over that, but she had a whole nother inspirational idea and came back from Japan with a completely different energy and sense of self-value, which she hadn't really had up till then. So, you know, for me, that one of the take-home things for a lot of you listening in there is that sometimes just when you have that feeling, I guess it's that sometimes the dark before the dawn, you know, the darkest hours just before the dawn, when you sometimes think, oh, you know, I've had it, hang in there, because it can most probably be an extremely valuable turning point. The key What's Your Dreams. Thanks for tuning in for yet another episode of The Dream Show. Have a lovely week, and I look forward to spending next week with you for episode 102. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.